May, you may have gotten a special key because you're special. You all may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord to be here once more. Bless those who are watching in and those who are here. Amen. Are you having a good time in the Lord?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing He Paid a Debt, 398. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. I now can sing a brand new song. Amazing grace all day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Glory. He paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm blessed. Did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song. Oh, amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Think about it. One day He's coming back for me to live with Him eternally. Won't it be glory to see Him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song. Oh, amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Amen. He paid a debt He did not owe. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. I now can sing a brand new song. Oh, amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day He's coming back for me. One day He's coming back for me to live with Him eternally. Won't it be glory to see Him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song. Oh, amazing grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Glory. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jonas, if you want to help us out, Brother Jonas. Amen. Pay the debt. Praise the Lord. All hail King Jesus, 584. All hail Emmanuel, King of Kings, Lord of the Lord, bright morning star. And throughout eternity, to praise Him, and forevermore. Yes, thank you, Lord. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel. go. Him. Oh, all hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star, and throughout eternity, I'm going to praise Him, and forevermore I will reign with Him. Let's praise Him as we sing it. Sister Alicia, if you want to come on up. Praise the Lord. Amen.
This song has been on my heart. It's kind of like my little testimony for me at this point in my life. Let's pray it be a blessing. Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I needed you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. There's not a day ahead you have not seen. So in all things, be my life and breath. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go that you've not already stood. A lot of words. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you.
He is that firm foundation. Amen. No matter what happens, we're going to trust in him. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's sing Fill My Way with Love. Amen.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and alone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh yes, fill my side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness rove. Keep my path free from wrath and my way satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Is that your prayer? Will be o'er and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing a blessed King all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Oh yes, and fill my way.
As I walk.
Just a small testimony. Me and John, we were just yesterday morning going around to some yard sales, and we went to one yard sale, had a young teenager and her father, and they were selling something and selling some stuff. Of course, you're trying to decide. So we bought some stuff, and I went home and said, well, I did like something for one of the girls. I'll go back. And I went back, and the dad was telling us, he said, my daughter, she was just commenting how nice you and the father and son were, how nice you two were. And I said, well, thank the Lord, you know. And but I got in the car. I think I said, thank the Lord. But I was just, you know, I said, oh, well, thanks. But I got in the car and I was just, you know, sitting there. I said, you know, well, what makes me happy? I said, it's because God got in my life, because he got a hold of me. That's why I wear a smile. My goodness. I thank the Lord. You know, I know what it's like to come from areas and neighborhoods where I didn't wear a smile. It wasn't cool to wear a smile. You know, you had to look serious and hard, you know, tough. You know, but God put a smile on my heart, a smile on my face, and I thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we walk with that love. Let's sing that chorus once more. Amen. And I love seeing all your smiling faces. Thank the Lord. Fill my way every day with love. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Sing, blessed is the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Most high. Oh, yes. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Most high. Oh yes, Jesus is the name of the Lord. Oh yes, and Jesus is the name of the Lord. Come on everybody. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most high. Oh yes, most high. Yes, Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most high. Amen. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is, it's a strong tower. Oh, the righteous run into it and they are saved. The name of the Lord. What is it? A strong. Oh, and the righteous run into it and they are saved. Amen. Just the sisters. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Sisters only. Thank you. Come on, sisters. Amen. Amen. Brothers only, Jesus is the name of the Lord. Brothers.
Oh, yes, singing, Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most high, oh yes, most high. And Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most high.
Everybody, the name of the Lord.
The name of the Lord is, oh yes, it's a strong tower, oh Lord. The righteous run into it and they are saved, oh Lord. The name of the Lord is, my Lord, it's a strong tower, oh. The righteous run into it and they are saved.
Everybody, Jesus is the name of the Lord.
Oh, yes, and Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most high, oh, yes, most high, oh. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most high.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. You ready for the word? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as our brother comes out.
Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, oh my Lord. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see, oh my Lord, yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, Lord. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
I got mask on. Hey, buddy. Man, Kendrick's with us today. He done grown up. Oh, he brought his mama. Oh. Oh, he brought his mama. That's good. You good? Looking good, man. Whew, Lord mercy. The kids grow up, don't they? We remember when that kid was born. So anyway, we have announcements. Let's get this done real quick. Brother Luis will be preaching on Wednesday night. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. Do not forget that. You that have mothers and ones that have gone on, we need to honor those. I'll be at Brother Dutch Scott's in Calhoun next Sunday with them. He's going out of town. And June and I are going to continue on up to Illinois for a couple of days to do some work on the Huntland. So remember, next Sunday. Yeah, I got that now. I got it. It's on my list. I like that calendar. We have a calendar now. We used to kind of communicate back and forth, but now we got a calendar. We can look down and see the calendar because I'm getting as old as him almost, and I can't remember anything either hardly. So, but Sunday school next Sunday. Sister Lisa Dale, where are you beside your sweetie? Can you do Rachel's? Rachel will not be here because she's flying back at 3:30. Right, Brother Joe? So could you do Rachel's, Sister Rachel's Sunday school class? Thank you so very much. But that will be Sister Rachel, that will be Sister Anna, and Sister Monica, and Brother Boyd. All right, everybody got that? And if you don't know where you need to go, you need to ask the people that I just announced, okay? Ask them where your children needs to go. Because some were moved around. Brother Boyd will be in my Sunday school class, and we're going to... Today we need to meet right after second service in my Sunday school class, the deacons, ministers, and song leaders, because we're going to change up a few things and get some things straight. This is, I don't want to say this is post-COVID because it's still going on, but this is post enough of COVID that we're trying to get back to a little bit of normal. And Bible study last night was we had 30 people there, so it was great to have that many people at Bible study, and we just carried right on with questions. Questions are really good for the congregation, and you're in a little bit less of a strenuous environment, and you can just kind of lay back and ask those questions. So next Sunday, 9:45 downstairs, will be the Sunday school classes will begin, and then you'll come back up here at about 10:15 like you did before. Okay, everybody got that? I know Monica's not here, but I'll talk to Bob and her before then. So we're getting back to our Sunday school classes, and then we will do something a little bit different with mine. And that's what we're going to talk about downstairs, and then we'll talk about it later on. So also remember, Brother Dale and Brother Bob will be preaching next Sunday. Also remember, June the 16th through the 19th will be our annual Father's Day fishing trip. It'll also be the annual ladies, whatever they figure out they're going to do today, tomorrow, the next day trip. I know it's different for y'all, but what time do we eat, Donnie? When I say so, right? Okay, see there? So anyway, I cook and what? Y'all clean. That's exactly right. June the 16th to the 19th, though, we're going to have a time there. We have a lodge rented for those of you that don't know or are new here. We have a lodge rented for those 3 nights. And also the sisters have a lodge rented where? Pigeon Forge? In Pigeon Forge. All right, so just remember that. As we go forward, like Brother Dale said, we need to start getting our list up for things, items to bring and all that. So also remember, July the 3rd and the 4th, we'll have our 50th anniversary meeting here on Saturday night and Sunday. Brother Jewel Forney will be doing Saturday evening. What time are we going to start? 6? 5? We haven't really discussed that. 5? 5? 5? I've got some that said 5? Huh? Oh, June said just wait. I guess we're just going to wait. When you say I'll talk again. Oh, you mean wait for that. But anyway, so we're gonna have service on Saturday night, I promise you. We'll just let you know it's a couple of months away. So Brother Jewel Forney will be preaching for us that night, and also Brother Mike Olteek will be doing Sunday morning. We've known Brother Mike since we all were little, and a real super duper guy. And then we'll have a catered dinner lunch after the service. We only have one service on July the 4th. That will be our 50th anniversary. Also pray for me Tuesday. I'll be having my first colonoscopy, so just keep us in your prayer. It's for precautionary. It's not anything that's going on, so remember that. And then we're going to have communion this afternoon after we get finished. So anything else we need to talk about? I get all these announcements out of the way. But that's okay. We're an active church, so that's good. We want to stay active. So let's turn to Hebrews 9:11. And let's continue on our study of the eternal plan of redemption, part number 17. Just keep these in your prayers. As soon as we're finished with communion, please, brothers that are ministers, song leaders, and deacons, and for those of you that are not here, it will be recorded, and then I have handouts, too, that we can give so that everybody will be on the same page. Amen? So Hebrews 9, verse 11. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you've given us, this time, Lord, that, as Brother Dale said this morning, it's an important time, and it's an important time to be here and to listen to you speak to the people. Now, Father, today I pray that it'll be you that speaks to them, Lord, not just a human being, but, Lord, use these lips of clay, Father, that you'll speak what needs to be spoken to the hearts of the people. And, Lord, we pray that you'd heal the sick, Lord, the ones that are not with us, the ones that are traveling, Brother Bob, Brother Luis will be traveling back from the camp meeting, Lord. We ask you to give them traveling mercy. We pray that you'd bless each one here, Lord. Give us strength to understand the word of God that's been delivered in this end time, Father. We know that it's fresh, it's new, it's eagle food. And we pray, Lord, that we don't choke on it today, Lord, but we will be given in small pieces, and, Lord, that we'll be able to digest it and move on with you, Father. We pray that you'd just sanctify us, Lord, for this journey. Sanctify us, Lord, as we get ready to take this communion. And bless us now in Jesus' name as we do the ordinances of the church, Lord. In your name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Everybody believes in the ordinance of the churches, right? Amen. We're believing the ordinance of the church. I don't believe it ever got took out. But Christ being coming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. We're going to, if anybody needs one of these charts, we're going to be looking at the chart today and hopefully not be too long. We got a few things we got to do this afternoon. So let's go to 1 John 4 and read that. We were talking last Sunday, and I want you to understand something. We know that in the end time, there's a special group of people, because if we continue on like we do, and the denominational world, they're doing an adequate job of getting people to Christ. And but you know as well as I do, the reason we congregate is not only that. It's just, as we were talking at Brother Ray's memorial service, we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But now remember, that makes you a spirit-born babe in Christ. You got to continue on with God. You've not got to, you can't stay a baby. Jesus Christ didn't stay a baby, and he doesn't want you to stay a baby. All right, he wants you to grow up. And then all of a sudden, he sends you in Malachi 4, he says, behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So he saved, God Almighty, in human form, saved your soul, and then he sent you a prophet. One of the seven stars that we were talking about last night in a Bible study, one of the seven stars in the hand of God. Remember in Revelations there 1, 2, and 3, he sent a messenger to each church age. A lot of people don't have problems with Paul because Paul wrote 80% of the Bible. They don't have a problem with John Wesley being a great prophet or Martin Luther being a great prophet. But when you talk about a prophet in the end time and we call his name and we say William Branham, everybody just goes haywire. Well, I don't understand why they do that, because it's in the Bible. We needed a prophet to turn us back to the original faith, or we're just going to continue going on as we are. We're just going to live. We're going to die. We're going to do this. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? But there is an afterlife to this. Amen. And we, by the eye of being in the eagle age and being the prophetic people that we are, God sent us a prophet, not only just to send us somebody to tell us what to do, but he gave us a gift and left that with us. As Brother Dale was talking about this morning, we all have a prophetic gift if we're under this age of prophetic gift. All right? We had an age in Columbus Day. That age was an ox age. It was an age that labored and burdened. And just to say that Jesus was your Savior meant death. Right. Amen? So we're not into that yet. We don't think, but maybe we'll come to that. But that was the spirit of the age. So each spirit was connected to a certain age. Right. And this age was in Revelation 3:14, which said at the beginning of the creation of God, it talks about what? I'll give you eye salve. In other words, you're not seeing right. You're naked and don't know it. Being naked is one thing, but being naked and don't know it, that's a deception. And that's most of the world now. If you walk outside, they're naked. And obviously they don't know it. Or they don't care. But what, you know why? Because they got a familiar spirit, and that familiar spirit is not familiar with the spirit that you got that makes you put your clothes on. It's really interesting how that, when Jesus comes to, Gadara, and he sees this man named Legion that has thousands of demons in him, and he's naked. But when Jesus pronounces the demons has left his body, he put clothes on. He didn't stay naked. He put clothes on. Anywhere you see that somebody has been made whole, they put their clothes on. Amen? So you see now the day and time that we're living, there must not be anybody being made whole because they're taking theirs off. Amen? So, but we know that's going to be this because of Revelation 3:14. They're naked and don't know it. Blind, wretched, miserable, naked. That's pretty rough, all those blind, wretched, miserable, and naked and don't know it. That's the whole problem. So that's why that we are a little different. We are, as I was telling the people at Brother Ray's funeral, there were some unbelievers there and others. It's just, there's more to God than just going to church. There's more to God than just saying I was baptized. There's more to God than just saying I was saved back in 19 and whatever it is, and I'm just here. No, you got a purpose. You're part of this plan and purpose that we're talking about, and because of agape love, God so loved the world. Now that love is not filial love, that's agape love. Exactly. Amen. It wasn't filial love. And filial love, remember, as our prophet went across the curtain of time and went into the place that the Christians were being held there after their death here on earth, because a Christian can't die. He just moves from one place to the other. Amen. The dead in Christ. You died in Christ when you got born again. Amen. So we see that filial love, though, doesn't go across the curtain of time because he met his first wife and she said, my precious brother. All right. So that filial love doesn't go over there, but it's agape love. And if you're born again today, you have that agape love, because watch what 1 John tells us. So we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Now in, not around him, exactly. Are known of God. Right. God knows everybody in this whole world. Right. Yeah. But there was only a few people that are in Christ that we're going to read here in Ephesians, that we were accepted in Christ or chosen in Christ, not of Christ. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Right. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. How many times have you seen the angels appear, or even Jesus appear to the disciples? What's the first thing he said? Fear not. Fear not. Why? Because something supernatural is fixing to happen, and that's why they call it supernatural. Yeah. It's not natural. It's supernatural. And when the supernatural happens, people get all jittery. Right. Especially if you don't have the same spirit of the person that you, that approaches you. Exactly. Amen? You get a little uncomfortable. You get a little, I don't know that. You know, the spirits are not familiar. You watch Brother Branham on the prayer lines, he'll walk up and he said, oh, your spirit is familiar. Yeah. Why? Because they both got the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is connected to the Holy Ghost, because there's only one God. There's only one Holy Ghost. Right. Amen. But when he doesn't say anything, he'll look at the person and say, you need to get right with God. Well, you know that they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right. And he discerned that because that's where they were their fear. How many times did he tell them? The people in the prayer line, he said, oh, don't fear that, or don't fear you're going through the change, you're just nervous, you're doing these things like that. But look, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now see, we couldn't love him if he had not first loved us. Everybody got that? Say amen. Well, there is no way that we know how to love God unless he loved us first.
Right, right, right.
then what he done, he projected that love into our soul by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So soul to soul, we are Jesus Christ made manifest in another form. And John says we love him because he first loved us. In other words, he taught us how to love. And how did he do that? He died on a cross and then came back on the day of Pentecost and put his soul inside of me and you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If a man says, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. But he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Now that's pretty elementary. So let's go to Ephesians 1 and let's read this real quick. This is a favorite scripture of mine and should be yours because we've read it 17 times. Let's go to number verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him, not of him. Right. Judas was chosen of God. Adolf Hitler was chosen of God. Yeah. Anybody in the world is chosen of God because they had to be by foreknowledge chosen to come to this earth, as Brother Dale said, because everybody's got a gift. Yeah. Look at what he said about Elvis Presley and all the different ones that came up Pentecostal and was great in the Pentecostal realm and then sold his soul, the prophet said, for a fleet of Cadillacs. Yeah. What? He had an anointing that could just bring a whole house right into just complete submission. Yeah. But what did he do? He did it by twisting and turning and singing love songs and all that. He took that gift that God gave him and he perverted it. Right. Satan took the gift that God gave him. Right. God's right-hand man. He took that gift and perverted it. Same thing with me and you. We've all been given a gift. That's why we're going to talk about, like I said, special singing and stuff. Those gifts need to be exercised, as we were talking about last night in the Bible study. Exercise, bodily exercise doesn't profit much, but you need to exercise your gift.
Right.
If you've got a gift and God's trying to get that gift, he's going to use it through you.
Right.
He's going to use it through you. He don't want to use it through, if he give it to Donnie, he don't want to use it through Brother Dale, he wants to use it through Brother Donnie. Because there's a certain characteristics of yourself that nobody else has.
Right.
Sister Alicia sang that song a few minutes ago and I've heard it 500 times on radio. I have never heard it like that. But that had some meaning to it. The girl that sings it, she's a professional singer on the radio and she sings it different and I'd rather hear it that way. Amen. Because what? It's a gift used with a spirit behind it. The right spirit behind it. Elvis Presley was a spirit, but it wasn't the right one that he used to do what? He used to totally mesmerize the Beatles and all the different ones were given a gift and they totally mesmerized the people and the people fell under an anointing that should have been of God.
Right.
And should have been used of God. That's why we tell our young people, that's why we try to get our young people involved, to get them involved in what we're doing. That way that God can use the gift and not Satan, because Satan's going to want to use it first. Because remember, Satan is right there with God. He's not off somewhere on vacation. He's right there with God. And as soon as an anointing or God gets ready to give you a gift, there's the old Diablo right there beside of him. He's going to say, okay, I'll take that and I'll pervert it. I'll make it for me. Me, 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 I, the old devil. But according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world. So we go back to Romans 8 and we see that we're heirs and joint heirs with God, joint heirs with Christ. So whatever Christ gets, we get. And that's the whole issue that I have with the world. They want to say, yes, Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago and then he's my savior. But they leave him on the cross. Or either they put him back on the cross. Remember what? Brother Branham had to indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Christ. What? They took Christ and put him back on the cross.
Right.
They couldn't get him and put him in their heart.
Right.
You and I have God, that same God that died on Calvary, we have him in our heart.
Right.
He came back on the day of Pentecost to prove that he was God.
Yes.
That he came back on the day of Pentecost to what? To get into the chosen ones, the ones he had chosen before the foundation of the world. Right here it says, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Listen, you can't adopt yourself. Someone has to do the adopting.
Amen.
You can't walk up even in a court of law right now and you say, look, I want to adopt somebody. And they say, who you want to adopt? Me. You can't do that. Well, that's funny, but it makes a point. You can't adopt yourself. You have to be adopted what? So Satan doesn't want to adopt you. He wants you to just be his. But you got to transfer that adoption papers. He's got to transfer over into another family. A different family has got to be brought into view. So that other family is God Almighty. And he wants to adopt us right here. Look, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now let's go down to verse 11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. I'm just going to skip through some to be short today. We obtained an inheritance. How did we obtain an inheritance? There was a plan. There was a plan and a purpose of God before the foundation of the world. And the reason he did it before the foundation of the world is because being God Almighty, he knows all things. He knew what was going to happen beforehand. He knew Adam was going to fall. He knew Eve was going to fall. He knew Satan was going to do what he did. There has been no surprises ever in God's realm. Never in God's house, never in God's dimension has there been a crisis. Now, I said his dimension. There's never been a crisis because God don't have crisis. He knows what's going to happen.
Right.
He knew what was going to happen before he made Satan. He knew what was going to happen before he put Adam and Eve on earth.
Right.
But now to be God, he had to put them on earth and let them make a choice.
Right.
Satan made a choice. You make a choice. Adam made a choice. Eve made a choice. We make choices every day.
Right.
Now, is that all right? Yeah. We make choices. Trying to back up a little bit for the ones that are here. But we have obtained an inheritance. Now remember, Jesus didn't come to bring us that inheritance. He didn't develop an inheritance when he was on earth. No, the inheritance was already before the foundation of the world. The inheritance was in the Father's mind because the Father's the only one that can have children.
Right.
Have you thought of that? The Father's the only one that can have children. You say, no, wife. Well, I think if you put the wife and the husband together, they bring death. Man that's born of a woman is full of trouble, dead, born dead. If you're born, we all sitting here today, we all was born the same way. But see, Father God doesn't take a sexual act for him to bring forth children.
Right.
It's the spoken word of God that brings forth children. And that, like the Genesis 1:26 man that we love so much, that was a what? A spoken word seed that was spoken, cannot ever be done away with. That is a part of God that Satan can't touch. He never has touched it and he never will touch it. Now listen, God has not been able to use it like he wanted to use it because of Satan bringing us into this domain by sexual desire instead of by the spoken word of God. Because how was Jesus born? Jesus wasn't born by sex desire. Jesus wasn't born by no egg of a woman or no sperm of a man. God, I read you the other Sunday, God created the egg and created the germ. That is God's own blood. There was no DNA of no man or no woman in the earth ever could trace yourself back to Jesus Christ. So me and you, listen, that's why Paul says we're not known by the flesh. Now we know Jesus had to die, but remember, the soul is what he gave the ransom. His body was a sacrifice. Read in, Isaiah 52.
Yeah.
He gave his soul a ransom so he could see his seed.
Right.
Not his body. His body was the healing part. He took stripes on his body for me and you, but that soul was where you and I were contacted at.
Right.
Because if you're born again today, you will have that same soul of God.
Amen.
Not a second person. Not a third person. Not a part of Trinity. It's one God. And Jesus Christ is his name. But you and I are part of that because of Romans 8 tells us we're heirs and joint heirs. Listen, whatever Jesus has got, you got. Do you believe that?
Amen.
You better start believing it a lot more because that's what's going to change your body. Because it took him out of a grave. Now, we know he had to die, but he died for me and you. But when he resurrected out of that tomb, he had a glorified body.
Right.
And he's still in that glorified body. Amen? So by foreknowledge, he knew all this, so he made this plan, and this plan never has, you know, God's pencil never has an eraser on it. Mine and yours, we have white out by the gallons. We have spell check. We have all these other things to keep us lined up and keep us straight. But God never had, He never had whiteout. He never had an eraser to say, no, I don't want to do it that way. He knew what to do and He set this plan in motion. Now the whole situation is He had to make it where you and I could accept that plan and it be the simplest thing. As Brother Joe and I were talking this morning, you take Brother Branham, you know, he's talking about he's Kentucky. Now, but he don't talk country like I talk country. He said, just an old country boy. But his dialect that he used, think about it. The dialect he used, of course, he said haint and tote and tater and all that other stuff. But you could understand what he was saying. Because that was God talking to us through that language of that man that was a Kentuckian or what I believe, you know, he's born in like North Kentucky, so he was close to being Indiana, so he wasn't a complete Southerner like we are, but God needed somebody like that because, you know, when God walked on the earth, the Bible says the common people heard Him gladly. Common people. The commentary and all that you read about Jesus' language, it was a common language that was spoken by street people, in other words. It wasn't a high language that you couldn't understand. Like, you know, we have King's English and all. You go to Jamaica and you swear they're speaking in tongues, but they're talking in regular English like me and you. You just tell them, slow down. But they're speaking English, but we're not understanding it because we don't speak like that. But it is King's English. So God spoke to us in the end time by a plain and common language. But that was part of the plan. This plan that we're going to look at today, it's a common plan. Sure, it has supernatural content in it. But it's very simple. It used people. It used human fallen people to get this plan started and ended. If you want to say ended to an eternal plan, but not ended. Because remember, a Gentile, I said the other day that the Gentile plan of redemption ends. It really does end for the Gentiles, but see, remember, it continues on to the Jews, continues on to the 144,000, I mean, continues on to the fifth sealed Jew, continues on to the white throne judgment where the foolish virgin will be given eternal life and a cup of water in my name, and then when we go live in a new city, we're going to see nail scars in his hand. We're going to know that that was a price paid for redemption. Amen. But we had to be caught into this dimension. We were caught into the first three, light, time, and matter. We went through and talked about the fourth dimension, which is science, or the tree of life, or Wi-Fi, or websites, or whatever you want to call it. And Satan works through that realm, and so does God. But now the fifth dimension is the place of holding, and I want to clear something up too. We had spoke it before, but remember I read the quote where the prophet of God tells us, and it's not a burning hell. Right. Hell is not burning at this time.
Right.
If you look up the word hell, Sheol, Gehenna, whatever you want to call it, it is a place of the damned or a place of holding. It is a place where if you look in the Bible and you read that Lazarus had died and went in the bosom of Abraham and the rich young ruler had died and went to hell. Now he was in a place of torment and he said, I wish somebody would come and put water on my tongue. But in other words, it wasn't a burning place because it doesn't burn up. And it's not a place of judgment yet because that's reserved for the white throne judgment. Everybody got that? But now the Bible tells us of a lake of fire. Now that lake of fire is where you're going. If you're not born again, you're going to that lake of fire. And I don't care how long you're in that dimension or in that lake of fire, you're going to one day just disappear. You're going to just go out of existence because you came here for a temporary time to fill time. And the prophet of God tells you that it's cannon fodder. Ashes. Let's don't be ashes, folks. If you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you won't be ashes. You'll be an eternal being with God. And that's what the sixth dimension is. We know the sixth dimension is Christ, the saints, the dead saints, or the resting saints. We read that the other day because we talked about paradise. I'm trying to get to the place here. We'll look at the chart for a minute. Let Sister Julie go and come and do this for me. Oh, you got it already? Oh, well, Gary, what are you laughing for? What are you hiding for? I wouldn't call you up here for nothing. I'd have to call 911. But we know that paradise was a place that was made in this plan of redemption. See, God in this plan of redemption knew that everybody couldn't go into the sixth dimension because they're not born again in the Old Testament. Their sins were covered or capoed by the blood or covered over because an animal blood can't save you. Actually, the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't save you. Nope. It keeps you saved. The life that's in the blood is what came back on you on the day of Pentecost. The life that was in that blood. But that life, see, I could give my life for my dad or he could give his life for me, being son and father. But there's no way that if I pass on that my spirit could subdivide myself and go back into him and make him a better person. Everybody got that?
Right.
But now Jesus Christ, the soul of souls, the eternal one, he can do that.
Right.
He died on the cross one time, went to hell, went to paradise, put him somewhere, came back here, stayed for a few days, left, come back on the day of Pentecost, into the believers, the ones that were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And now he's living in the believer, and he's the same in me as he is, Brother Dale or Brother Donnie. Any of you that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't have a different God in you than I do, or we've got all kind of healing gods running around here. Amen? So he can subdivide his soul like a piece of pie, but it's not like a piece of pie that runs out. As that one piece of pie, you know, as that widow woman reached down in that cruise, and reached down in that flour after Elijah said it won't run dry. She dug that thing in with a cup, and as soon as she pulled it up, the spot just filled right back up. That spot just filled right back up. And the cruise, she would reach down and get a little cruise of oil, and she'd say, oh, I don't know, I better not use a lot of it. And she'd look back, and it'd be full. That's the way God is with me and you. He's never going to run out. But he's only going to have a certain amount of people in this plan because, you know, he knows how many people are going to accept him and how many people are not. That's why I told you a long time I always wondered about predestination, about people like Adolf Hitler and different ones. I even think about, you know, kids and all that are their life has been shortened. And you know they were without God. You wonder, Lord, why? But that's not a cruel God. He just knows that that person's not going to ever accept him. See, God knows that. He knew Adolf Hitler. If he gave Adolf Hitler a million years, that Adolf Hitler would never accept Jesus Christ.
Right.
So therefore, he could let him live his life, die, commit suicide, whatever what it was, be the heathen that he was. And God tried to save him, and he didn't want salvation. Same thing with all of us. Same way, he gives all of us a chance, and if we turn that chance down, guess what? We're lost. We're done for. But there is grace. There is the grace of God that continues on and on and on. I know that God called me at 14 years old in different times, and I gave my heart to the Lord, but I didn't give it all to him. Anybody want to admit that? I didn't give it all to him. I kept some old husbands. I didn't ask him to kill them all. I just wanted to act a little religious every once in a while. But, you know, come to find out as you stay in the... Well, we were talking the other day about the Bible saying that a sinner will not be able to sit in the congregation of the righteous because once the word goes forth, you see people fidgeting. Yeah. They'll get all fidgety. You know why? They're uncomfortable.
Right.
We used to see it a lot in the youth camps that when we were in Alabama. June and I were there for 8 years, so we watched a group of people grow up from young'uns all the way up to teenagers and on up into getting married. And you could just sit in the back of the congregation, and of course there'd be 300, 400, 500 young people in there. And you'd be sitting in the back, and all of a sudden you didn't have to have discernment. Right, Aaron? You really didn't. You just watched them start fidgeting.
Right.
You watch them start getting convicted.
Yep.
And you watch them start trying to fight that thing, and they're not really doing this fighting it, they're fighting it on the inside.
Right.
All right? And that's why the Brother Gary always told us, he said, let them go to the bathroom one time, because what they were doing the first part of the youth camp, when we first started them in Alabama, you know, we'd let people go in and out. Well, they would disappear. Well, what would happen? Either they'd be out with a girl somewhere. That happens in the youth camp. They'd be outside talking to a girl while the service is going on, or they'd be walking back to their dorm to smoke them a cigarette or whatever they're going to do. It happens. It still does. Because there's a devil there. The devil gets there before you do. And then he anoints the people. So then all of a sudden, Gary said, Brother Gary said, no, don't let them out. He said, if they go to the bathroom, you go with them. We had to escort. Jim, where you at? We had to escort. If you went to the bathroom at a youth camp in Alabama, you had to literally escort that person to the bathroom. Why? Because it's like Brother Gary said, and I love what he said. He said, you know what? He said, we trust you. It's the devil we don't trust. So, but you see what I mean about that? You look and see the familiar spirits, and you see the unfamiliar spirit. And you don't have to have a lot of discernment. Because watch this. Let's read quote number 13 real quick, and then we'll make a few comments at the end of new ones. We've read all these before. Talking about perfect love, but watching number 13, and Brother Branham says, look, you cannot love with your body. You love with your spirit. And see, that's what, when you have filial love for your wife or for your friends or for your children, and even under that, there's different types of love, but that's not the love of God. It says you can love, even love God and still not be right. Because you love God with your outside emotion and feelings and all the different things that you let get these anointings get on you, and you can love God, but you can't love God with your body. You love Him with your spirit. Now remember, you have a spirit and you have a soul. Your spirit is memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. Your soul is either faith or doubt. There is no emotion. Come on. Because it's either God or the devil. That's the only emotion there is. All right? So it's the anointed with the real spirit. The Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit, but his soul is his germ. See, your soul is where you live. That's the firing mechanism. When your soul leaves your body quits functioning. There is no lights on. There's nobody at the house.
Right.
Your soul's either going to go in the fifth dimension or the sixth dimension, and you're going to go one of the two places, and you're going to wait till the judgment. Amen?
Right.
There is no in-between. There is no praying you out of purgatory. There is no halfway house.
Right.
Not in God. The Holy Spirit can fall upon a man in his spirit, but his soul is his germ. That germ is the Word. And how, I don't care how much you can preach, how well you do this, and how much you love, that's just one of, in other words, that's one of the inlets to the spirit. You can't love with your body. Like I said before, you don't sin with your body. Your body is the vehicle that the sin travels through. Because this same body that you see today drank beer, said bad words, and did a lot of things that he shouldn't have done. But now I didn't have to replace this body and get me another one. What? The motivator inside is what left. So it was this same guy right here. But see, and I still have the same memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination. But Paul says, turn your affections to Christ. Because my affection was the other things. Whatever you want to, you know, you fill out your card. I've done filled out mine. I told you what it was. So you fill out your laundry list or your card of whatever you did. But you can even love God because, you know, it constrains us. When you come to church, you say, oh, man, I just love God because I can feel it. Now, that has nothing to do with it. There's nothing to do with it. But do you love God enough to come to church, read your Bible, study, pray, get revelation from God and be happy about it, and you really never run the aisles? You really never have to speak in tongues? Because as Brother Dale was talking about those 9 spiritual gifts, those 9 spiritual gifts, they have to be judged, as he said this morning, by 2 or 3 witnesses. So all that has to be judged. But now, like I said, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, that's not judged. God judges those. You don't judge them, but we have to judge because why do you say it, Brother Wade? Because seeing 9 spiritual gifts, they can be imitated. Wisdom, God, Satan's one of the most wisdom people in the world. He's the most knowledgeable person in the world. He's just eating off the wrong tree. And he makes you and me eat off the wrong tree. And all these, even speaking in tongues. Brother Brown said, you know, he said, I've seen heathens speak in tongues and take a knife or a blade or something and slice their skin and nothing come out. Or hang hooks on their... Why? Because, see, that's a spiritual part, but it's not of God.
Right.
It's a filial love. And that word love, we say it all the time. But it's the most unused word. Because, you know, I love to deer hunt. Well, connect that with any other love for any, you know, your wife or your family or anything. No, it doesn't work. Everybody got that? Amen. I'm kind of backing up and kind of slowing down a little bit so we can get a point here. But so God, see where, you can't love with your body. You can love God and still not be right. You can cast out devils and preach and do these things and still not be right. Jesus said so. Said many would come in that day. Remember we talked about the last part. The word settles it. Because remember in the Bible, Jesus told us, I believe it's in Matthew 12 or somewhere, he said, they'll come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not cast out devils? Have I not spoken tongues? Have I not done many mighty great works? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. In other words, I never had an intimate relationship with you as a person. So they mixed filial love with agape love. And it's two totally separate loves. You can't intertwine them. Filial love was given for you down here. Agape love is what you cannot, like John said, we can't love him until he loved us first. So this great plan of redemption is that he loved us first. He knew how many people were going to be saved. He knew how many people were going to want him. He knew who would use their gift in the right way and who wouldn't use their gift in the right way. But he lets you continue on because you know what? He's a good God. But he's not greasy grace either. I believe in grace. But I don't believe in greasy grace. You can't go past what the Bible says. Amen? Now there's different things that you can, in different levels that you talk about as far as things that happen that go on in life, but you have to go back to what the Bible says. You cannot deviate from this Bible. Alright? Because see, look, this Bible is full of grace already. You don't have to manufacture another set of grace, it's right here in the Bible. But like I said before, it's not greasy grace, it's not going to allow Judas to do what he did and be a believer. No way. Judas was a believer, but he was an unbeliever. He was believing in something. Even the Bible tells us that the devil and the devil's angels believe in one God and tremble. Why? Because they've never seen but one. There's not three people walking around in heaven. There's one. There's one God. Not two or three. All right, look. Let's read this number 15 because we got to get it to Jesus Christ and then we'll look at the chart for a minute. So we'll go to number 15 if you don't mind, brothers. Under the law, under the shadow, they entered in under the shedding of the blood of goats and bulls, which we went through, which could not take away sin. It was the life of an animal. We just explained that. I don't have to explain it again. Let's read the red. That's why it never returns back in having anything to do with a human being. It could not. But God, before the foundation of the world, foreordained that Jesus would come, the perfect Lamb of God, into a perfect cell that God himself created to bring blood into the world to offer that blood. See, all the other blood had been offered as a substitute. Blood of bulls and goats, blood of animals. But listen, there was no other human being that shed blood to give it back to another human being. When you died, you just went somewhere else. But this man, the perfect man, Jesus Christ, brought his own blood into the world. Because if it would not have been, he wouldn't have been God. He wouldn't have been virgin born because there would have been another blood injected in. Even with, some people believe that Mary produced the egg. Well, see, that's a connection to the sexual part. Amen? So God had to create egg and sperm and put it in the womb so she was an incubator to bring God into the world, to bring blood into the world to what? To offer that blood. He was born to die. But he wasn't born to die for himself. He was born to die for me and you.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
So let's keep reading. And if you can turn him down in this hour, a love that the sinner that was in that blood cell with his love and the Holy Ghost himself, after that offering of that man can come back and possess the believer. He bought eternal redemption. Now, did you get that? Then how? See it through the blood, washing of the blood, taking away, separating of sin, that the Holy Spirit woos the believer through the blood, cleansing of the soul into the fellowship, into this spirit life, inside with Christ, shut out the world, and the very nature of God is in you. still subject to mistakes, but God can't see it because it's covered by the blood. God can't see through the blood. Every time he looks through the blood, it looks white. He looks through the blood, it looks white. Now in number 16 in Hebrews chapter 5, the prophet tells us, look, not to be redeemed today and then next week when the revival's over, your redemption's over. No, we're talking about eternal redemption. It goes all the way through. Now we have our problems, we have our backslidings, but watch. Go to the next one. Number 16. There you go. Got it? Not to be redeemed today, and then next week when the revival starts, be redeemed again. And then, oh, we backslide and be redeemed again. You're redeemed once forever. But you better make sure that that is sure and right the first time. Because you can't be, now sure, our lives do like this, but your spirituality, listen, if you stand still in God, you've backslid.
Right. That's right.
If you just stand still, you don't have to go backwards. Because all the other wave of Christianity is going forward in front of you, that makes you backslid. Are you not born again? One of the things. See, you can't backslide. You can backslide and be born again, but you can't. It's not called backslid if you're lost. Because what are you sliding back from? If you're born again, you can backslide. Brother Bram said he backslides every day. We do. We do little things that's contrary to God. But we're talking about don't go back and smoke and cuss and drink and I want to do this.
Right.
And I do a horrible job of it. When I say this, I want to preach the gospel. I want to meet people. I want to have a congregation that we all are full of the Holy Ghost. But I backslide from that because I forget about you sometimes.
Right.
I'm human. So are you. But that doesn't mean that I'm lost. Because backslid means you did come back, but you can still go forward. But listen, if you just keep going backward and keep doing the same thing over and over again, you need to check your new birth first. Find out you're born again. You might can do that in the denominational world, You can go to church 3 or 4 times a year and some people, say a couple of Hail Marys and you're fine. Not in this, not the way we see God. God is a moving God, and God moves, you need to move with Him.
Right.
And that's the same way with all of us. We need to do what the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of self together and all those different things. Sometimes we forget that. But not to be redeemed today. This plan of redemption, let me just put it simple. This plan of redemption cannot be broken. It can't be broken because it's an eternal plan of redemption. How are you going to break something that's eternal? It's going to happen. You've got to make the choice, though, whether you want to attach yourself to it or not.
Right.
To where you want to be that one that's chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. That God did send you a seventh church age messenger to take all the scruples and all the loose ends and put them together to where you can look and say, aha, that's what He meant.
Right.
Not the 900 different ways the world thinks it's meant. That's the way it meant. That's the way it was supposed to be. And when you look at it, it's so plain of English, and it's so plain, you say, how did I miss that? Well, it wasn't your time yet.
Right.
Maybe you were backslid. Maybe you didn't have God in your life at all. But, once you get this eternal redemption, no more redeem, eternal redemption. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life or eternal life and shall never come into the judgment, but hath passed from death into life. Because he is shook. No. Because he was baptized a certain way. Question mark. Because he had blood in his hand. Because he had believed on the only begotten Son of God. That's how we have eternal redemption.
Right.
All right, let's look at number 17. Who is this guy that we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes and then we'll close? We've got a lot to do today. Prophet of God says, look, talk about a super sign. See, a lot of people think Jesus just came on earth because he's the second person of Trinity and God was up there talking to Jesus and said, hey, go down there and maybe somebody will feel sorry for you and believe on you and they'll get baptized and we'll take them to heaven.
Yeah.
Now, boy, that sounds like a good plan, doesn't it? No. That ain't an eternal plan of redemption.
Right.
Now listen, for God so loved the world, he knew the world, though, was not all going to love him. But the part of the world that did love him, God sent him for that, and he didn't send a second person, he went himself. God died in flesh. You say, oh, God can't die. I didn't say God died. I said God died in flesh. Amen? He gave up. Actually, no man killed him. Read your Bible. The Bible says he gave up the ghost. He could have died anytime. He was in full control. Everybody in the whole world thought that guy was so out of control. Man, he's up there naked. He's got, yes, Jesus was naked on the cross. We put a little thing around him just to make it modest in this time. But he was, they said he stripped, the Bible said they stripped his clothes off. And he was hanging there naked before the world and had spit all over him. But you know what? He was in complete control. He said, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. No man killed him. What a God. But where did this guy start? Talk about a super sign. He could have come an angel. If he wanted to. He could have come a full grown matured man. But a baby. Over a pile of manure crying. Talk about a super sign. That's a real super sign. A baby. Jehovah crying as a baby. A super sign. Oh my. Then people say he's just a prophet. Oh my, the super sign. Jehovah as a boy playing. Jehovah a man toiling in the carpenter shop. Jehovah himself made flesh and dwelt among us, stretched his tent.
Right.
Stretched his tent down here. Made himself a body to live in. To have a blood cell that blood cell could be broken. Hallelujah. That was the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world that brings us eternal redemption. The Bible said so here. Now he's referring to Revelation 13:8, where the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Now that was in the mind of God, but there had to be a literal happening down here. Listen, we were all in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, but not his people. So we had to come down here as people to develop. Now, Jesus was before that. Go to who is this Melchizedek? Brother Bram says, look, he knew all things. Now we know he... There's a question in there, but listen. When Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, he wasn't talking about the flesh that was standing there at 30-something years old. He was talking about that same person that was inside of him. It's the same person that spoke to Abraham. It's the same person that walked in the garden with Adam. And the same person that said, let us make man in our own image. Or you've got two or three different gods running around. It's the same God. Listen. That's why he can keep his plan straight. He didn't have a secretary that might have messed up something. He came himself. He's done all this by himself. And where's he at today? He's in you. Trying to get you to see the same thing. It brought us eternal redemption. We are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which has given us eternal life. Now, we're going to look at the chart real quick, but let's read these two scriptures, and then we'll go to the chart. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Continue on. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now we watch, that's over there in Isaiah, but now let's go to Matthew 1 verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. Remember, they got married and she was pregnant. Back then, that meant death. Amen. But thank God, if you've ever thought of this before, remember Joseph was a widower. Joseph was an older man because he didn't touch her for 9 months after they got married, which he lawfully could have because it was his wife. If everybody understands what I'm saying. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus' daddy was who? The Holy Ghost. I thought he said the Father was his daddy. It must be the same people. Pretty simple, huh? And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Not a second person. God with us. It had to be God. It couldn't have been somebody else. So that's where we're going to, and he is the, let's just talk about that for a second. Go ahead and bring the chart up if you want to. But in this eternal plan of redemption, it all hinged on the plan, number one, being perfect, which we know it was because he's the one that made it. But it also required that he participate in it. Everybody got that? Because it says right here, a virgin shall conceive. Somebody's going to come down here in human flesh and going to be Almighty God, and he's going to die and give his life for the human race. So there has to be what? A man that can do it. And some people that'll be there that'll receive it. So there's your plan. I said before, you can have the best football, basketball, you can have the best plan on your, whatever you got going on in your life, you can have a wonderful plan, but if you don't, number one, execute it. Number two, if there's nobody there to do it, you gotta have 11 people on the football field. You can have a play that'll score a touchdown every time. But you got 11 players that you've gotta get that to first. Then you gotta remember there's 11 players in opposition trying to keep you from doing that. So that's the devil. He's got a plan too to keep us from doing all this. But thank God it's an eternal plan and it came from an eternal God. The devil's not eternal. Hell's not eternal. Thank God. Luis did a wonderful job doing that the other night. Cause that, you know, a lot of people hinge on hell being eternal. Well, if hell was eternal, then it's gotta be eternal life in hell. That's just really 1 + 1 = 2. If you gotta have eternal, if you're gonna have an eternal place, and there's only one form of eternal life, there's only one eternal anything, and that's God, then he's gonna have to be stuck in hell the whole time. I don't think so. No, it's gonna be done away with. The devil and his angels are gonna be put in the lake of fire. All the other imps and all the other spirits and all the other people are gonna be put in that lake of fire, done away with. But remember too though, watch. That's way over here at the white throne judgment. They've still, those who turn God down, this is the fifth dimension. They're still there.
Oh, yeah.
They still got a chance. They still have an opportunity. Even though being right here in this fifth dimension, they have an opportunity to state their case right over here. Amen? The people in paradise, they were put in a certain spot, but when you come right here, and we see that paradise was emptied up and it became the sixth dimension. And that sixth dimension is only going to last until... Kathy, what do you got on the back of your... Got on the back of your heart there, sweetie? 1 Thessalonians what? 4? Well, man, I got it up here too. Just Kathy's got a little heart that says 1 Thessalonians 4:16. What? The dead in Christ shall rise first. She's got a little bit of Brother Ray around her neck. Oh. Well, that was his mom and daddy's product. The real Brother Ray's over yonder somewhere in another dimension, waiting on us to get our work done. But as life we know it, as life, light, and matter, this is the first three dimensions. Genesis 1:26 and 27 was not created. It was not created on earth. Genesis 1:26, man was in glory. Genesis 1:26, man was back in eternity. But we come down to Genesis 2:16 and 17. Adam and Eve were put into flesh. And according to Genesis 3:1-10, that's where the fall happened and put us down into what? Time. So this is the timeline right here. This is time. Time started at the fall. We have the quotes. We know that. And then time is going to end over here where it blends into eternity on the other side. But we got to get to there first. All right? So God in the Old Testament, he gave us, as Brother Dale was talking about, the two tables of stone. We were talking about this last night. Somebody was talking about the ark. The ark of the covenant was given in the Old Testament. And the two tables of stone were put in. That's all the word they had.
Right.
They didn't have seven church ages. They didn't have Jesus Christ in human flesh to preach to them. And for apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to come and preach to them. They had prophets.
Right.
Moses. Brought the word to Aaron. Aaron gave it to the people, but God gave him two tables of stone, and those two tables of stone were put inside that ark. There's one right here behind here that an art Brother Joe got. And it's got the two tables of stone. It's got the butt of Aaron's rod too, doesn't it? If you want to look at it, I mean, it's back here behind. But anyway, it's a replica of that. But as somebody asked a question last night, and see, look at the dispensational change. Everybody with me? Look at the dispensational change. Because right here, this is the Ark of the Covenant. This is what they depended on the high priest every year to go in behind the Holy of Holies. The veil would shut. He would take the blood of a bull and he would offer one time for all the sin of Israel. He would sprinkle it on the different corners and all the different things he had to go through.
Right.
But he couldn't touch it. He couldn't touch it. It was untouchable. Because remember, the ark was taken away and put over into some, and I love the, have you ever read the scripture where the ark of the covenant was taken to another country and was put into the same room where their god, Dagon or whatever it was there. And every time they'd walk in every morning, the Dagon, their god would be laying face down on the ground and they'd pick the god back up and set it back up. And the next day they'd come back and the god would be stuck. And then finally the king of that country said, get that thing out of here. Get that thing out of here. So David brought it back, and the question was last night is why, in other words, kind of what, why was, there was a boy, remember, they were bringing the ark back on oxen, which was wrong to begin with, but this, the thing's getting ready to fall, and this man comes out of the crowd and puts his hands up on the ark to steady it, to keep it from falling off, and God kills him. Why? Because God can't change his word. He said, if you touch it, you die. He even said, if I'm on this mountain and you touch it, you die. So he can't go. And it was really David's fault. Yeah. It never was told to put it on an ox cart and bring it anywhere. It was to be carried by the priest. It was to be carried by the fivefold ministry. It was, the word was to be carried by human beings. And if they would have been carrying it, that poor boy wouldn't have died. See how serious this word is now? You play with this word now, it's the same thing that happened. You'll spiritually die. That's what we were talking about last night. You'll spiritually die. But now what does the Bible tell us now? Because of him, we're to go boldly behind this veil. And just, this thing right here is not over here anymore. It's inside here.
Right.
That Ark of the Covenant, yeah, there's an actual ark. Because listen, it was touchable after this man left.
Right.
Let me explain that real quick. You couldn't touch this. This was so holy. And they had this Ark of the Covenant set in the Holy of Holies in the temple, even when Jesus was there. Remember, the Bible says when Jesus was crucified that the veil was rent from top to bottom, showing that no man could do it because it's ever how many, 40 or 50 feet high. It was rent to show the veil. And they had to walk backwards because you can't look at it. They had to shut the thing back. But that was God showing them that that veil, that was not anymore. God wasn't right here anymore. He was right there.
Right.
And then on the day of Pentecost, 40 days later, the book of Acts, he comes down, he ascends and then comes back 10 days later with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2 verse 1. And this thing, sure, it's over there somewhere. Because remember, in AD 70, Titus destroyed the temple and took the ark, the menorah, and every piece of that tabernacle. He was able to reach and get it with his unholy hands. Why? Because God wasn't there. And they carried it back to Rome. It's sitting under the Vatican somewhere because Titus was a Roman general. And you carried all your booty or whatever you got, you carried it back to wherever your country was. So this thing is naturally there, but at a time though, there was a time and a dispensation that meant something. Look to the ark. Who was the one in the belly of the whale? Jonah. He turned. God told him, said, if you'll just turn and look in that direction, he said, I'll save you. But now what's he doing now? He said, if you turn and look in this direction, I'll save you. Not no more of wood and mortar, not no more of a box. I read that in the first scripture we read. But this was not eternal. That's temporary. You can have 100,000 of them sitting in your house and be just as lost as Adolf Hitler.
Right.
But you can't have that man in your house and be lost. Amen? So look, this is a more sure, the Bible says, a more sure word of testimony than this was. This was a testimony, and there were many men, many people were put in paradise because of this little box and them believing that that was Jehovah God and that the blood of that animal covered their sin. But there had to be one that took the sin away because the plan of redemption would have stopped right here. Because this thing got old.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's a piece of wood. It's not eternal. But an eternal God had to come down here, die on a cross. Raise that back up a little bit if you don't mind. Now remember, the seventh dimension goes continually across that way. Everybody got that?
Right.
That's the abode of God. Listen, it's really not heaven. You know, the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, so let's don't put all of our eggs in one basket and say, I want to go to heaven. I thought the Bible said we're going to live here.
Right.
Okay. So there's the seventh dimension, though. That's where God is. And that God had to come down and be birthed as a baby.
Right.
Birth of Jesus, Luke 2:7. He preached for 33 years. He preached six seals. You can put the dates in if you want to. Now go back down to here. I mean, up or down. Go that way. There you go. So you see, Abel died, was put in paradise. All the different ones were put in paradise. Now when Jesus died, where'd he go? He went all the way to hell.
Yep.
Man, Jesus went to hell and preached to the souls that were imprisoned in the long suffering of the days of Noah. What's the scripture there? I read it the other day. But remember, death couldn't hold him. He came back up. We've already read these quotes. That's where we're going to stop right here and start again on the dispensation of the Gentiles in the seven church ages. But all this paradise, all this blood of animals covered these people's sin. But when Christ died, he went down here, picked up.
Oh, yeah.
Got a set of keys.
Right.
Got a set of keys. Let's don't forget that. He got a set of keys down here. Remember the keys of death and hell? He comes back up here to paradise. Picks them up and takes them up. Some of them resurrected on the day that Jesus resurrected. Took them on up into a place to hold. There's no more paradise because that was, people were older. They stayed the same age. Remember we read that where Samuel was an old man. But in the sixth dimension, there's no old people now.
Right.
They're all 20 years old. Brother Joe's working on a thing and I'm just tickled to death to see that. It's all the people that's went on. That we'll see that the dead in Christ shall rise. We'll never see them old again.
Right.
Ever. What color was Richard's hair when he was younger? Huh?
Brown.
Yeah, it was lighter brown though, right? Okay. But you see his picture downstairs? Well, he had all hair anyway. People that have hair on their head. I know, world. People have hair on their head. I guess that's where it goes, doesn't it? I reckon. But you'll never see now because of what Christ did. He died for the sin of the whole world. But only a certain group of people is going to accept him. We know the Old Testament has closed off. There's no more Old Testament. There's no more. See, that's what the problem is now is. The problem is that Israel believes, the Jews believe that Jesus Christ has not come yet. Right? Because they're trying to put this thing back together. They're trying to get the temple. They're trying to get the menorah. They're trying to get all the, and the sacrifice, the red heifer and all the, they're trying to get something back. And we read it and we'll read it again in Ezekiel because we're going to have to cover Daniel 70 weeks again. Because in Ezekiel, or not Ezekiel, but Jeremiah, I believe it was, or something, Zechariah, says that they'll mourn because they think that they're, this is not come, and then there's going to be 144,000 that's going to say, where'd you get those scars in your hands?
Right.
He said, in the house of my friends. Because he died right here. But Israel doesn't believe that he's the Messiah. So they're trying to go back into Bible days and pick up all the blood of animals.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what they're looking for, right? They're looking for Elijah to come. Because see, they take hold, behold, I send you Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. They think that hasn't come yet. They missed that coming of Elijah. But I believe through the two prophets, which one of them is the fifth coming of Elijah, is going to explain to them, you missed that first coming. You missed that coming of Elijah in this seventh church age right here. You missed that coming of Elijah. But God still has grace to save 144,000 of them. And then continue on into the fifth sealed Jew and all those different ones. So everybody kind of got what we're at Jesus Christ right now. The plan of redemption has went through the Old Testament. It didn't eradicate sin. It only covered sin and pushed it to Calvary.
Right.
It pushed sin to Calvary because the blood of animals only covered sin. But when the blood of Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, like I said before, you could have pints of his blood and not be saved. But you can have one speck of his spirit, of his soul, and you're saved.
Glory.
Amen? But they're looking for natural things. And here we are. We you know, and don't laugh at them. Listen, they were blinded intentionally for me and you.
Right.
Intentionally blinded because you know what? They believe in one God.
Right.
They look over here and look at all these Gentiles that believe all these different things. And they go, crazy people. Westerners, they don't know nothing about one God. They don't know nothing about all this. You know, they're expecting something to come because what God done is God blinded their eyes right here to bring a Gentile bride in, because that's all Gentile in the bride church age, and we'll get to it later. He blinded it, a whole nation for me and you. He blinded a whole generation for me and you. He let them go through a dispersion, and 6.5 million of them were killed by Eichmann and Hitler just because their eyes were blinded for me and you. So don't ever look down on those Jews. They paid a price for them rejecting it. Just like me and you gonna pay a price if we reject him. But they're paying a literal price. Because remember, this same man stood over here in eternity and he said, I'll never forget Israel. I may have had to divorce her. I know she's going to do this. I know she's going to go after other gods. I know she's going to be this. I know she's going to do that. But I can't. She was my first love. She was my first love. I can't do away with her because you know what? They tried.
Oh yeah.
David tried. They all tried the best they could do, but they never could, by being covered by this animal blood, take away what that man took away on the day of Pentecost. He took an old man named Peter that cussed and all these different things, and he took Peter and he used him as a spokesman. Peter was his spokesman. Paul was a vile man, folks. Saul. Saul would make Christians blaspheme. He would go in and tear churches up. But God said, got a plan for that boy. Because I know when I give him my soul, when I give him eternal life, I know what he's going to do with it. He's going to write 80% of the Bible. He's going to be my prophet for the first church age. He's going to be the man that we're going to go to. He's even going to be the man that the seventh angel messenger is going to look back and he said, I preached exactly what that man preached. If we'd have looked at Saul, we wouldn't have let him in the building.
Correct.
We wouldn't have let him in the building. I mean, he was well known. He was so well known that when Ananias, God spoke to Ananias and said, hey, there's a man coming to see you whose name is Saul. And as soon as he said Saul, I'm sure Ananias went and locked himself in the bathroom.
Right.
He said, you kidding me? That man that's destroying Christianity? Making the people blaspheme? Lord, we're hiding from this man. And what God's saying? He said, oh, don't worry. He said, in other words, I've struck him down.
Right.
I took him down a notch or two. He's going to have a little different spirit when he walks in here, but I want you to lay hands on him that he'll receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So Ananias said, okay, since you said it that way, I think I'll do it. And I'm sure he probably watched Saul the whole time he was there for 3 days. He was kind of watching him to make sure he didn't. But remember, Saul was incapacitated. God had to make that Jew incapacitated. He couldn't see. Because he knew he was a staunch Jew. He knew he wanted to do what he wanted to do. But when his eyes were open, he opened them in a different world. He looked at those people then as brothers and sisters, not as the adversary. Same way with me and you. Let's stand to our feet. We'll continue on with the plan of redemption. I want to use some of Jesus' life and show you some of the things that he did that maybe the world kind of looks strange upon, but I believe the more we understand this man, the more we'll understand ourselves.
Right.
Because being a Christian, you've got to be Christ-like, so you got to be what he was and what he still is. So we won't sing a song. If you don't mind, we'll go ahead and on to the communion if you need. Listen, we have literally seen people healed taking communion.
Amen.
Because it was a reverent time. It was a prayerful time. It was a time of reflection and a time of us coming to a place to where you're supposed to get these things out of your life.
Right.
Talked to a preacher one time, and a long time ago, and I said, how often do you take communion? He said, well, we take communion when we think the people's ready. I said, well, then we'd never take communion. When we think that we're ready. I said, we take it every month. Brother Dale, make sure we're ready. Because we know we're going to take it every month, so we need to be prayerful. Get these things out of the way, because it's a solemn time. And we have literally seen people speak in tongues, and we've seen people. Now, I've not seen speak in tongues. Brother Dale did, didn't, with Brother Dean or one of you did. But we've seen people heal literally by just taking communion, and it healed their body. So if you've got a need today, you take this communion, and you take it in the order you're supposed to, then you know what? Ask God to heal what you got. Take away anything that's in your life. So let's read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Wine and everything's ready. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now we know many people think that that's a literal body and all these different things. We know this is symbolic. That's why we don't hold the bread over. I will burn it before in the morning. I'll burn it almost to a crisp where you can't ever use it again, because we don't want to hold over as they did in the, going through the wilderness. They held that manna over and it rotted the next day and had already got, in other words, there were worms in it, right? So, and same way with Jesus Christ. We don't hold Jesus Christ's body over. It's all fresh. It's new manna every day. It's a new revelation. It's a new thing that we see. So we take bread that's not bought in a store. It's produced. Sister Lisa makes it. A godly sister makes it, and it's made by holy hands. And then the wine that we take is not grape juice watered down. It is wine that my daddy makes. And because wine is a stimulant, and wine never goes bad. Grape juice and anything else will go bad, but wine just gets better with age. Amen. So now what? The body and blood of the Lord gets better with age. That's why I see that we don't do as some other people do, because sure, it's a symbol, but how close to that symbol we need to get? Because there's that body. You're the body of God now. And then we're covered by his blood. Amen. So we're going to partake of this communion, not just as bread and wine. We're going to take it because he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. So the Bible tells us that without a New Testament, there has to be a death of a testator. He's going to die the next day, which made a New Testament in my blood, because the Old Testament was covered, like we said, under the blood of bulls and goats. You couldn't drink that kind of wine or anything to make a symbolic of that. So he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, Now you see that? Or in unworthy manner, the Bible says, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So we need to clear everything out. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It didn't tell you didn't not to take it. It said get right to take it. All right? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now who is the Lord's body? We are the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So that's pretty serious. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. In other words, our judgment is not the world's judgment if we do the thing that we're supposed to do. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together into condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's take about a minute. You pray. The prophet of God said you pray for your pastor. But you pray for yourself to get yourself out of the way so that we can take this communion and it'll do something for us. Lord, I pray that this will be not just an event, but be an experience. That we'll experience you more, Lord, by taking this communion, because it's really communing with you, Father. And now we pray that you sanctify us for this journey. Bless us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible said he took bread and blessed it. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this bread, Lord, that's been made by holy hands. And Lord, that it'll be to each one person here, Lord, knowing that your body was broken for us and that now by your stripes we are healed. And if there be any infirmary or anything going on in the building or anybody that we even have a thought of, Lord, may you heal them, Father. Because by your stripes we're healed, Lord. By your broken body, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many people downstairs? Don't know. You know, the Catholic Church takes this, and I don't know who, they may buy it from somebody, I don't know. But they lay it on your tongue and said they turn it into the literal body of Jesus. And I just, you see how people believe stuff like that. Why? They've been taught. They've not been taught any different. They've been taught from their youth. But we know different. We know better. This is symbolics. This is to let, number one, let us know that this has been instituted by God, and it's something we're supposed to do. And if we don't take it, it shows we got something wrong.
Right.
And if you're not born again, you shouldn't take it, because if you take it unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to yourself, so the Bible says. That's why the Bible says examine yourself. Because in our own humanity, listen, folks, we're not worthy. But I'm worthy because he's worthy.
Right.
Because I was chosen in him. Whatever he had, that's what I get.
Right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless this wine, Lord. As we partake of it, Lord, may it just be something, Lord, that stimulates not only our inside human self, but, Lord, that it'll stimulate our spirit, Father, that during this week, Lord, that we'll come closer to you, Lord, by this communion that we're about to take. Father, forgive us of our sins and bless the congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, some of you see, Brother Mark used to do it, Brother Donnie does it, if these pieces of it flip out of the bread container when you're snapping it, it falls out in different places. Well, we believe in making sure all of it gets burnt, and there's none held over, so that's why that they do what they do, and we appreciate what they do.
Amen.
Brother Mark used to do it, now Brother Donnie's doing it. And that's why that we do it, because we want to make sure it's all, none of it's held over. It's all burnt, and it's all done away with. Because you know what? Tomorrow's a new day.
Amen.
Tomorrow's new a new opportunity to understand God, a new opportunity to understand what God is to you. If it's a journey, then in a journey, what is a journey? A journey is an opportunity to learn something every day.
Right.
You're going on a journey.
Right.
Sister Charlotte just got back from Sedona and the Grand Canyon. That was a journey. And it's places you've never seen before, right?
Amen.
You can't say that now. She's seen Sedona. She's seen the Grand Canyon. I've been to Sedona. I've been to the Grand Canyon. I've been there. Part of my experience. Can't never say now that I've never been. But it's a beautiful place. So what more of God that we're going to take this communion, and tomorrow we're going to continue on with God. Wednesday we're going to continue on with God. Next Sunday we're going to continue on with God. Every day that we come closer. That's why I was talking to Sister Trudy McMillan. She said, you just turned 83 last Saturday. Last Saturday? 24th. Whatever 24th is. She turned 83 years young. I told her, I said, you're closer to that new body than I am.
Right.
Amen? Brother Ray just graduated his.
Right.
And it's not a new body. We know that. His ashes are here, but his newness of life when he got born again, that's what's over there in another dimension. Thank God for this plan, folks. I'm telling you. There's no man can make this plan and make it work. No human man. They had to be a flaw somewhere. They'd have to be a change. There'd have to be an oops moment because you don't know all things. But thank God we had a God that knows all things.
Right.
Knew which way it was going to go. Which way the, as we say in sports, which way the ball was going to bounce before you even threw the ball.
Right.
So you could be prepared and be ready. And so God was prepared and ready before the foundation of the world for us to go through this. And you know what? Fear not. Do I have no fear? Please don't fear. Let's don't fear this thing we call life.
Right.
Now remember, as soon as we get finished, the song leaders, ministers and deacons need to meet in my Sunday school class, please, just for a, go over some things that we're going to change and try. We're trying to get everything back to kind of normal again. But you keep praying for the ones. We do have brothers and sisters in India that are having a hard time with it. So, and Nepal. Talked to a brother from Nepal the other night. Aaron had him on Facebook Live, and he watches our sermons, and he's, what, 10 hours?
10 hours
ahead of us. So he's already into Monday, but he guarantee you, well, Wednesday night he'd watch the service, didn't he? Was it Wednesday or last Sunday? Wednesday. 10 hours ahead of us. He was already into the next day, and he was watching the services. So we don't know. Brother Keith Reed told us a long time ago, he said, Brother Dale, he said, you're not only preaching to your congregation.
Right.
He said, you're preaching to people all over the world.
Right.
And he's telling the truth.
Right.
So we just don't know how much out of this little church impacts all over the world, because that brother sure don't fall asleep during service. I promise you that. My goodness, that guy was like a fireball. But that's just the way they are. When the Lord gets a hold of you, you'll know it.
Amen.
Let's partake of the communion. Thank you, Lord. Maybe we'll assess the situation, and maybe next month we can get back to foot washing.
Right, amen.
So that'll put us all instituted, everything back. The Bible study we got back again. We were, like I said, there were 30 people there. The room was full. Still wore a mask, but we were good. And we had a good time. We were there for 2 hours. Usually we're not sitting around not saying anything. Somebody's asking a question. Somebody's got a concern. And we're able to air those out. And and in an environment where you can say, hold on, what did you just say? What are you talking about? Will you say that one more time? I wouldn't mind you do that here, but it caused a lot of confusion maybe sometimes when people didn't understand, then you'd have to hold the service up for a minute. So let's set aside that time of Bible study, the first Saturday of every month, to do that between 6 and 8 o'clock. So God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for all the smiling faces and all the people that you prepared yourself for this day. Now we're going to go meet the devil. Monday. Ah. And remember me Tuesday also. Like I said, it's just a exam I've never had before. And being 61, you know how they want you to make sure everything's okay. So it'll be a routine examination, and but just still keep us in prayer that everything goes well, because they do have to knock you out. So praise God. So but remember, Richard Roberts is like, yep, I'm so glad they do that, knock you out. So pray that everything goes well, and God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. We've instituted many things today: tithing, offering, singing, special singing, reading of scripture, preaching of the word. Now we've took communion, Lord. Now I pray that you would just rejuvenate us, Lord, for the rest of the week, Lord, before we come back on Wednesday. Brother Luis will be speaking for us, Lord. And then the next service, Lord, being Mother's Day there on Sunday, we pray that you'd bless each one, Father, that's here on that weekend, Lord, and the coming up meetings that we have. We pray also for Brother Bob and Brother Luis as they're coming back from Christian Bird, Virginia today, Lord. They'll have a good report of some good services, Lord. We pray that you'd sanctify us for our journey and let us become more and more close to you, Father. Let that be our prayer. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll meet you downstairs in my Sunday school class when you get ready.